The last few weeks, we've been looking at lessons about conversion in the book of Acts. And in each one of those, we pointed out the necessity of baptism. Baptism is necessary for salvation. And a lot of people are going to argue and say, well, baptism is a work, and we're not saved by works. And they use passages like Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 to support their objection for this thought. Here Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now certainly baptism is a thing that is done, and as such it is a work. But is it a work of merit by which one earns salvation, or is it a work of faith by which one receives salvation? Now, in consideration of the work involved in baptism, who is truly the one at work, doing the work? Is it the man or the woman who submits to being immersed in baptism? Or is it God who forgives and regenerates us through the blood of Jesus and the working of the Holy Spirit? When we carefully consider what the Bible teaches, there's no contradiction between the idea that we are saved by faith and not by works. And at the same time, we are saved by baptism. So today I hope to make this very clear, that baptism is a work of faith and not of merit. There are different kinds of works. There are works of merit. These are works that are done to earn something. These have been done as works to those who feel like or believe that they deserve something. Those who believe they will be saved. In other words, because they have kept the Ten Commandments, or because they've gone to church, they've done good deeds, and the list goes on. Well, it's these kinds of works that Paul has under consideration in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, but also, excuse me, when he writes in Romans chapter 3, verses 27 and 28, where here he says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." There's no way we can earn or merit salvation. All the good we might do can never outweigh even one sin, James 2 and verse 10. And there are always works of faith that are to be done. And these are things that are done to receive something. Those who have done such works believe they deserve nothing. They understand their obedience did not earn or merit their salvation. They understand their salvation rests upon God's mercy and God's grace, not because God owes it to them. And such works can rightly be called works of God, of which faith itself is called by Jesus. He said in John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, "What shall we do, that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." Other works of faith commanded by God would include things like repentance and confession. We see that in the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 30. And Paul would write about it in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Excuse me. So, it's though such works as faith, repentance, and confession are commanded, they are not meritorious works. And we don't earn salvation through them. They are works God has ordained that we do to receive his salvation. When all is said and done, salvation is still by God's grace and mercy. Now, what is said of faith, repentance, and confession may also be said of baptism. Baptism is a work of faith. It's not a work of merit. Baptism requires faith. The necessity of faith was emphasized by Jesus in Mark's account of the Great Commission. He who believes or has faith and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe or have faith will be condemned. Philip made it a prerequisite to baptism when he baptized the eunuch, if you'll remember, in our lesson on Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. So baptism is an act of faith by which one receives salvation and not earn salvation. The forgiveness of sins and gift of the Holy Spirit is what Peter called it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It's a union with Christ that we are joined to in his death and raised with him to walk a new life. That's how Paul describes it in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. He says here, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And he would write in Galatians 3 and verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That baptism is not a work of merit is emphasized when he wrote to the young preacher Titus in chapter 3. Beginning in verse 4, he says, "But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." While God saves us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which is an allusion to baptism, he does not save us by works of righteousness. In other words, by works of merit. So baptism is clearly not some work of righteousness done to earn or merit salvation. And nowhere in the Bible does it suggest that baptism is a work of merit by which God owes us salvation upon the basis of our baptism. Just like faith, repentance, and confession, baptism is simply an act of faith by which we receive salvation. And why this is so? Well, it's because baptism involves the working of God. God is at work in baptism. We are buried and raised with Christ through faith in the working of God, Colossians 2 and verse 12. And it is God who does this work, not man, Colossians 2 and verse 13. Man is dead in his sins, but God makes him alive, forgiving him of those sins. So it is God who saves us, not we ourselves, and he does this through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, Titus 3 and verse 5. Think of baptism as a spiritual operation, an operation in which the great physician does his work. When one needs physical surgery, it requires faith in the skills of a physician to submit to the operating table. When the surgery is over, have I earned or merited my healing? No. It required both faith in the doctor and the willingness to submit to him. So my faith in God and in the death of his Son for my sins prompted me to submit to this spiritual operation of baptism, in which God did his wonderful work of cleansing by the blood of Jesus and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. So when we understand that baptism is not a work of faith, or let me rephrase it, it is a work of faith and not a work of merit. It is a working of God at which time we receive salvation, not earn salvation. We will reject the necessity of baptism under the mistaken idea that it is done some work by which we cannot or which we can try to earn salvation. Sadly, there's a lot of people that reject baptism as necessary for salvation because they see it as something you do, when in reality, baptism is the most passive act of faith required to receive Christ and the blessings that he provides. In other words, I believe, I repent, I confess Christ. They are all things that we do. And on the other hand, baptism is something done to us. Consider this. Faith, repentance, and confession are all acts of faith on our part. Baptism is a passive act of faith in which we submit to the working of God in our lives. It's what Paul says in Colossians 2 and verse 12. To object to baptism requires man to do something that would require one to subject to faith, repentance, and confession, because they also require man to do something. You know, we cited from Martin Luther in our last lesson, and even he coined the phrase salvation by faith only. And he understood that salvation by grace through faith did not preclude the necessity of baptism. In answer to the question, what gifts or benefits does baptism bestow? Martin Luther replied in his small catechism, it affects forgiveness of sins. He also wrote concerning the sinner, through baptism he is bathed in the blood of Christ and is cleansed from sins. And again he wrote, to put it most simply, the power, effect, benefit, fruit, and purpose of baptism is to save. Responding to those who call this a kind of works salvation, he said, yes, it is true that our works are of no use for salvation. Baptism, however, he says, is not our works, but God's. And that's quoted by Jack Cottrell in Baptism and the Remission of Sins in College Press from 1990. So to those who say baptism is a work and we are not saved by works, I would reply, baptism is a work of God, and we are saved by faith in the working of God. And now I've got a question. Have you submitted to the working of God in baptism? If you believe that Jesus died for your sins on the cross, have you repented of your sins? And are you willing to confess your faith in Him as the Son of God so that you can receive the working of God in your life today? Remember what Ananias told Paul or Saul in Acts 22 and verse 16? And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You know, the biggest problem I have with these arguments against baptism is that they all come from man's ideas. Man thinks he has a better way for you to go to heaven. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23 says, it's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. If you want to go to heaven, if we all want to go to heaven, then we have to simply do what Jesus says do. There's no other way around it. So I'll ask you, do you want to go to heaven? Have you been baptized? According to Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Have you earned salvation that way? Have you gained your salvation that way? Again, you may not agree with this lesson, and I would be willing to sit down and discuss this lesson with anyone. Just bring your Bible with you, and we'll use book, chapter, and verse for our discussion. If you'd like to meet with us at the Eastside Congregation, we'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible classes, 10 a.m. for worship service, and again this evening at 5 p.m., and we have a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Thank you again for being with me today.